Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. We'll be in verses 21 through 33. So there's Bibles in the pews in front of you. It's a black book, so where it's in the NIV, so that's where we're at. We're going to be in Acts 10 for several weeks, and then after around the 30th of the month, or the first Sunday in October, we're going to be in the book of John. And I'm so excited about that. So tell your friends about, we're going to be in the book of John this fall, and we're going to be there for quite a while. But we're continuing our study of the conversion of the Roman centurion Cornelius. This was a seasoned Roman soldier who lived in Caesarea, which is the coastal northwest coast of Israel. And this miraculous experience involved God's direct intervention and his initiative. God took the initiative in working in Cornelius' life as well as Peter's life. And you and I are, the Lord has also taken initiative in you and I, in sharing the gospel with our friends and family and loved ones or our neighbors or whatever the case may be. God is going before us, taking the initiative to talk to folks ahead of us. And another additional note that's worthy of mention about this passage, it marks a large-scale fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham that through his seed, all nations of the world would be blessed. And that seed, of course, is Jesus. Okay, so that's where we're at today. Acts chapter 10, verse 21. So why don't you stand with me one more time? You're getting a workout at church today. Acts chapter 10. Beginning in verse 21. Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say." Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his friends or his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I am only a man myself." Talking with them, verse 27 says, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" And verse 30 says, Cornelius answered, "4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.'" This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please have a seat. What a wonderful passage. I love this passage of scripture. So in 2013, an Australian blogger named Andrew Holm shared 7 reasons sharing Christ can be difficult. The first reason, it's our personal life. What works for me may not work for you. I don't believe that personally. I'm just kind of speaking for somebody else. The second, we feel unworthy. I'm not a good Christian or a good person, so I really can't share my faith. We have too many questions ourselves. Maybe your faith isn't square in your own mind. We're comfortable, and that's most of us. We're unsure of the outcome. Maybe my friend won't like me anymore if I share my faith. Religious freedom. It's kind of like the personal life thing. One religion is as good as the next. That's not my view. I'm just saying that's somebody else's view. And lastly, although this should be probably the first, is we forget to ask God for help in sharing Christ. The only issue I have with Andrew's list is that God's mission mentioned last. We're going to look at today how God acts first in the person who's going to share Christ as well as the person who's going to be shared with. All right. So the main point that I want you to bring home today is that God doesn't see boundaries as impediments to granting salvation by grace through faith. Okay, God doesn't see the boundaries that you and I see. God doesn't see those boundaries. Therefore, as his ambassadors, Christians should never look at boundaries as impediments to sharing the gospel. Because God doesn't look at those boundaries or see those boundaries, neither should his people. The reason that Christians should never see boundaries, in addition, is that God takes the initiative in preparing you, not only the one who tells other people about the Lord, but the one who is going to be told about the Lord. God prepares both, the speaker and the listener. Okay, we see this in three ways in our passage today. The first thing is God takes the initiative in removing boundaries to the gospel. Oh, and by the way, in the bulletin, I have this broken down for you. It says sermon notes and study questions. Please use and abuse that however you want to. You can take notes on it, whatever you want to do. So God takes the initiative in removing boundaries of the gospel. So we see this in verses 21 through 23. We see Peter interacting with the men who had been sent by Cornelius to fetch Peter. Now, just moments before that, Peter had experienced, and we talked about this last week, Peter had experienced a vision where a sheet had been lowered down to him three times containing all of these impure animals, unkosher animals, and then this voice from heaven, which had been the Lord's, instructed him to rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter pushed back on those instructions. You know, Peter was in a habit of pushing back on the Lord in very ungood times because there were boundaries that Peter was not comfortable with crossing. Then this voice of the Lord told Peter, Jesus told him, what God has made clean, do not call common. And the point God was making to Peter was that he was taking the initiative. God was taking the initiative to remove boundaries in Peter's life. Now, the day before this vision occurred, that's one vision. The second vision is that the Lord had appeared, this angel of the Lord had appeared to Cornelius, the centurion. And he told him that the Lord had taken note of all the things that Cornelius has been doing. Now, it's important to be reminded that what the Bible isn't saying, because Cornelius, you did all these good things, you're now going to be a Christian. That's not what's being said. What's happened in Cornelius' life is that the Holy Spirit had taken the initiative in Cornelius' life, but Cornelius didn't know what to do with that, right? He was just living out what God was working in him, all right? So this angel told Cornelius to send for Peter, who was in this place. Now, right after that vision, Cornelius's men, they go down the beach from Caesarea to Jaffa. This is about a 15-hour walk for those of us in good shape. And so the next day, they're there. And so right after the vision that Peter had of those sheets, the Holy Spirit told him, hey, there's men there to pick you up and you're to go with them. So he goes down there, and upon questioning the men who had come for him, Peter begins to sense that God has taken the initiative to get him to do some kind of action. Peter didn't know what he was supposed to do, but he knew this is from the Lord because God had taken the initiative, not only with those visions of that sheep, but those very people, those three people that had come looking for him. Now, the men who had found Peter knew that he was an observant Jew, so they tried to allay his fears. They said that this was a God-fearing man. Now, what it means for a Roman centurion to be a God-fearing man in first century Palestine means that he had been active in the local synagogue. He had developed relationships with people in that synagogue. By the way, synagogues, before there was Christianity, people served God by going, instead of going to church, they went to the synagogue. So this centurion had been going to the synagogue. And he also had a high level of piety, this centurion. There was a commentator that I read this week who said that these Roman soldiers, there was a very pitiful sort of religion that they had, and they ended up, the state religion was pitiful, So they either served this god Mithras, which was like a god of war, or else they served God in Israel, which is kind of interesting to me because when I was in the military, people that I was stationed with, when we were stationed far from home, they were either really good at drinking beer or they were really good at going to church. That was kind of their thing. And this is kind of like how this is what happened to this Cornelius. But what Cornelius didn't do was become a proselyte. He wasn't circumcised. He didn't take that next level. It's kind of like a person that comes to church here for a long time who maybe doesn't become a member. That's kind of what Cornelius was doing. That's kind of where he was at. And so Cornelius wasn't sure what Peter was going to talk about. He just knew that he had to send for him. And the people that Cornelius had sent all the way down there to pick up Peter didn't know what was going to be said, and neither did Peter. But they just knew that God was taking some action. In your life and in my life, God is going to put something on your heart. He's going to take initiative in your life, and the details may not be square in your mind what it's all about. But there's nothing wrong with that because God is beginning to work some message into your life. When we were first hearing about Jesus, maybe that was how you came to faith in Christ. Andy, you said something really interesting to me this morning. I'm kind of putting you on the spot a little bit, but when you're talking to somebody, the Lord, maybe the first thing you say is, "Hey, you know, God loves you," or maybe the first thing you say is, "You're going through something. I'm going to pray for you," and that could be the first thing that gets said. Maybe the full witnessing package isn't really there yet, but the Holy Spirit is beginning to get a message through to you and the person you're talking to. All right. So, but there's still this boundary that was happening that Peter was dealing with. Peter had this boundary in himself that he needed to cross. There was this kosher boundary. Not only had to do with food, but they weren't even supposed to hang out with Gentiles at all. And so you and I have boundaries also, and this is kind of how these are boundaries to us sharing the gospel. Race could be a boundary. Maybe you're uncomfortable with another race, or maybe you're uncomfortable with another gender. Gender identity is a boundary in our day and age. Politics is certainly a boundary. Social strata can be boundaries. There could be boundaries between you and your children, you and your grandchildren. You and I, if we've been Christians for a long time and are comfortable in our comfort zones become boundaries to the gospel. And these boundaries can prevent the flow of the gospel being preached. But the good news is that God takes the initiative in crossing those boundaries ahead of you and helping you do that. And the reason this, and this is something important that I want you to understand, is that boundaries don't exist to God because He's everywhere at the same time. God is now, God is eternity future, God is eternity past, God has been there for all the times that you got it wrong, He's been there for all the times you got it right. He's always there. He is already working in the person's life that you're going to talk to about the Lord, just like God was working in the life of the person who talked to you. Some of you were lucky and fortunate enough to have people like Betty Carlson, who taught Sunday school in this church years ago, and what you know about the Lord is because somebody like her taught you. I'm not dropping names to be rude or anything. People just kind of come to mind. But God is putting people in your life, and the reason He's doing that is because He's taken initiative to share the gospel with you. Do you believe that? Okay. So far, so good. Okay, the second thing is that God confirms through circumstances that He's already taken the initiative to cross boundaries. Okay? There are circumstances that are going to show you that God has already gone ahead of you. And this is a blessing and a mercy from the Lord. We see this vividly in verses 24 through 29. Peter arrives at Cornelius' residence, and he immediately gets a sense that there was a reason for that vision of the sheets coming down out of heaven. But look what happened in Cornelius' household. This is all a confirmation to Peter that the right thing is happening. His visitation by the angel had been 4 days ago, and his men had just returned with Peter and his crew. And during that time, Cornelius had put the word out to his relatives and his friends, his closest friends, that God had a message for them. Isn't that interesting? I mean, can you imagine? This Roman centurion invited all of these people, crowded out his house, and they didn't even know what the message was going to be. They didn't know what God was going to say. They didn't know anything except God had a message for them. So he invited all of his friends to come hear this message. And so Peter comes in. That's the first confirmation for Peter. But how do you and I know that God is crossing boundaries? How will you know what will be your confirmation? Well, the best way, I think, is that the best way to know when God is crossing a boundary in your life or in someone else's life close to you is that they may tell you about their problems. You'll get some sense that there's brokenness in somebody's life. And that is an immediate flag from the Lord that he's crossed ahead of you to prepare that person that you're talking to about the Lord. Or maybe you're in a tight organization, maybe you're in a team of people, and one day you have a friend or somebody ask you if you're a Christian. That is an obvious sign right there that God has gone ahead of you to tell somebody about the Lord. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Sometimes this is embarrassingly startling. I remember I was shaving my face in the bathroom. I was in the military. I was in a barracks, and we had a common bath. People went to the same bathroom, all the people in the same bathroom, which is interesting. But I'm shaving my face, and this guy walks up to me and says, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, I'm a Christian. Would you pray for me?" And it was just like that. I mean, it was just like that. I'm not embellishing that at all. But sometimes you might get caught up like that. Your brain might be somewhere else, and then someone comes to you and says, "Are you a Christian? Will you pray for me?" That is, there's no more direct a confirmation than that. I mean, you could probably have the hand of the Lord like Daniel experienced. That might be a little bit more obvious, but, you know. But sometimes God reminds people of initiatives that he wants to take. And I'm going to drop a bomb on you right here. I have a heart for the Dream Center. I have a passion for the Dream Center. If you've never heard about the Dream Center, you can Google it. You can find out a lot of details about it. But God is moving in the lives of young people in the inner city of Dubuque through the Dream Center. They're preaching the gospel at the Dream Center. And they're getting a lot of money from the city to do that. And they're helping kids with their homework. They have access to the kids' report cards, their ST math, all of those things. Those volunteers at the Dream Center are so dialed in to those kids, and they teach them about Jesus. They teach them life skills. It's amazing. I have a heart for that place, and so did Pastor Chris. So did Pastor Dana. And so initiatives like that that God keeps bringing up, when God keeps bringing people into our path that tell us the same thing, that's an initiative, or that's how we know that God is crossing a boundary ahead of us. There's an encouragement that I want to give you with that, is that God, because of his love, because of his mercy, and because of his grace, he crosses boundaries ahead of you and prepares you to cross those same boundaries, but he puts things in your life that confirm that. Now, the third point I want to make, and this is the last point I want to make, and I'll be closing with this, is that because God has taken the initiative in removing boundaries to the gospel, we can cross those same boundaries with faith and obedience. Okay? Because God has already crossed those boundaries ahead of you, and he's already given you some confirmation that he's crossing ahead of you, that's your signal to have faith in him and to obey him. All right? And we see this in verses 30 through 33. Cornelius acknowledged the initiative God took in bringing Peter to their door, and that Peter, an observant Jew, had kindly come in obedience. You see, God had moved not only in Cornelius' life, but he'd also moved in Peter's life. He put those two together. Now, why do you suppose it's important that Peter was called and not Philip? Philip had preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. So Philip had more experience dealing with Gentiles than Peter did. Peter was the leader of the church at the time. Peter was the leader of the fledgling church in Jerusalem that was composed of thousands of Jews. And so the people that had attended Peter to go to Cornelius' house, they all witnessed, and we're going to talk about this next week, so I don't want to give too much of it away. But Peter was the leader of the church, and so God was bringing Peter into this Gentile's house as he brought the Gentiles into this one vine, this one olive tree that we read about in Romans chapter 11. That's a huge deal, and that's why Peter was called to do this. But Peter didn't know that. Peter just knew that God had taken the initiative in Peter's life, and he had took the initiative in Cornelius' life. So that's really important. He then told Peter that he had what had amounted to a captive audience. Peter, all these people, can you imagine? The place was jam-packed, standing room only, to hear a sermon. That's pretty cool. That was all Peter needed to close that circuit between the vision of unclean animals and what God had called clean. He was not to call unclean. It had nothing to do with animals, Peter realized. It had to do with men's souls, people's souls. It had to be wonderful, Peter, to hear Cornelius tell him that he had a whole house church in God's presence who are ready to hear from him. How amazing is that? So the one thing I want you to carry home is that you're going to experience an opportunity to share the gospel with someone on the other side of a boundary. You are going to have an opportunity to share Christ with somebody on the other side of a boundary. But the good news is that God's getting you ready for that, and God's getting them ready for that. So there's no need to be afraid. Okay? Now please receive this encouragement from the scripture. Now to him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glory with great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. Doug.